Hey, what's up, everybody? Brockman here. It's the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast. It's June the 9th. Nice. And I'm here with Adam and TJ. What's up, fellas?
It took me a second to get that.
Oh, like 6'9". I get it. That's what you're saying.
6'9" on the calendar.
Hey, we're all adults here.
What's up, everybody? Yo, game three last night of the NBA Finals.
Chris, you have the biggest
shit. Did you guys watch the game?
Hey, unbelievable.
Did you guys watch the game last night?
I mean, I knew there was a game on.
Hey, did you watch the game last night? You heard about it? You heard what happened?
Adam, why are you cussing on the pod, though?
That's who won that?
Yeah, we can cuss occasionally.
What's up? Yeah, I'm riding pretty high. Last night was awesome. You know, Warriors did their third quarter thing again. I don't know why this keeps happening. Like, Boston just forgets how to play basketball in the third quarter.
Yeah, what is it with that?
I don't really understand.
Let's touch that later. I want to interrupt. Keep going.
I honestly have no idea. But then the Celtics did their fourth quarter thing, which is absolutely dominate, lockdown defense, hit some threes, and put this game away. I mean, they were up comfortably pretty much the whole game until the Warriors went on their third quarter one, erased an 18-point deficit, took a brief one-point lead before Boston kind of regrouped and ended that third quarter with a few buckets and a couple free throws and was able to kind of withstand. It's funny, I followed Jamal Crawford on Twitter, and he was talking about how the response is to the response. That's what's going to decide this game.
Okay.
So Boston was comfortably ahead, and you knew a Warrior response was coming, right? They were going to get it together. They were going to do one of those psycho 8 points in 30-second runs.
No lead safe with these guys, really.
No lead is safe. They can score 10 points like that. They had that controversial 7-point possession midway through the third quarter on the Al Horford foul, and then got a crazy desperation bucket by Otto Porter. And then suddenly they're winning. And then the response to the response, and Boston was able to respond. They didn't wilt under that, the avalanche of points that the Warriors threw on them. And then they took it in the fourth quarter, and it was a pretty comfortable win thereafter. Golden State waved the white flag with about 2 minutes left, and Boston wins by 16. How did you guys see last night go? Do you think it's over? Do you think we come back to Boston? What did you guys think of last night, Adam?
So, as you know, I've been underestimating the Celtics the entire...
Every step of the way.
Literally every
single round.
Every single step of the way, I have been doubting this team. And I will admit, I have been wrong. And I am wrong right now. I predicted the Warriors at the start of the series to win. And to me, clearly it looks right now that the Celtics are the better team.
Yeah.
They just are a better team. Their defense is amazing. So I haven't seen great defense like this that I can remember from an Eastern Conference team, really since those early 2000 Piston teams. That's what this reminds me of. This team has a bunch of dogs on that roster.
Chauncey and Tayshaun Prince and Rasheed.
Yeah, Ben Wallace. That team had great defensive players at every position. And this team is similar to that, where you have Smart, who's a great defender at guard. Jaylen Brown was defending his butt off last night. Seth Curry scored a bunch of points, but he made him work for it.
Yeah, they were really hard to come by.
He made him work for it. And then, of course, you have Robert Williams, who's just a force in the paint. So this Celtics team, and then you have Horford, you have so much depth. The defense is just amazing. It's just better than I even thought it would ever be. And to me right now, they have to be the favorites going forward. This team just is firing on all cylinders. They believe in their coach. Their coach believes in them. But here's the thing. Golden State will give them everything.
Oh, they're not just going to roll
over.
They're
not going to roll over.
Game
four is going to be a fight for the Celtics because Golden State is in desperation mode at this point. If they're down 3-1, it's pretty much over. So the real test will be Friday. That's going to be the real test for the series.
Yeah, TJ, what'd you think last night?
I just feel like right now it would be easy to say that this series is kind of over based upon what we saw last night, right? But like you just said, Adam and Chris earlier, no lead is safe with Golden State and no game is safe. Like, so right now, if I were to, I don't know, lose internet connection and go to a deserted island for like a week and I come back and the first thing I ask is like, who won the NBA title? Either answer you give me is not going to be a surprise at this point. But I'll say this. holding Golden State, and I realize the game it got out of hand near the end of it, but holding them to only 11 points in the fourth quarter, it was definitely like Golden State kind of got to the point where they knew early that, all right, this game's over. We got no chance to win, especially Steph goes down, Horford lands on them. And I think at that point, they kind of just took out the white flag and just and started to wave it, because
almost like they kind of exhausted all their energy to get back in the game. You know, like you said, no lead is too safe. It was 18 points and it easily could have went to 30, but it went in the other direction where they just bang, bang, bang. All of a sudden it was like three straight threes, a couple free throws. And you're like, man, it's a 6-point game. Oh my God. They have the lead. What just happened?
And also, you know, look, 31 out of Steph, 25 out of Clay. So you're talking 56 points there, plus another 20 or 18 out of Wiggins. Yep. You would assume that Golden State is going to win a game like that all day, every day, and it didn't happen. And I feel like Golden State is getting more lip from Draymond Green right now than anything else. It's just like the amount of arguing and complaining that Draymond does, and I realize like what he does for the team usually, and I understand that that's how he becomes fiery and gets his team up. But you have to also kind of look at this from a human aspect. Like if you're a ref and you're constantly getting chewed out by this one guy, no matter what anyone tells you, when the time comes to blow the whistle and there might be a 50-50, as a ref, after this guy keeps mouthing off, there's a chance that maybe you're going to like call the game a little bit different for the Celtics. Now, you know, it's just kind of like a thought of mine, and I'm not sure it's really how the refs work, but I think we three of us can kind of agree that, yeah, human nature would tell you that. Like, if you're just going to keep trash talking me, if there's like a call that could go either way, you're not going to get it from me. And I don't know if Draymond's antics are helping his team at this point, because when you put up 2 and 4 and 3 and you're the loudest person on the court
and you foul out
you know, but again, I understand how good Draymond is. I understand how important he is to this team and this offense, but man, just, you know, other thing, ESPN's getting into this thing with the JJ and Stephen A about, you know, 80s, 90s players, who's tougher, who does more complaining, who's flopping this and that. And, you know, I'll look back. JJ's trying to say that, you know, players today get a bad rap, which they do a little bit. But I swear, man, I don't ever recall like Michael Jordan just straight up either flopping or straight up just yelling and complaining and arguing the entire. Rasheed Wallace was one of the most boisterous players of all time. Yeah. Draymond makes him look like a mute. Like, so I don't know,
man. You know what really gets me? I understand that, you know, you're trying to sell a call, like, you know, a guy, you're backing in the post and you want to try to get a foul, especially if maybe he has 3 or 4 fouls or you're trying to get that second foul early. But what really gets me is the complaining after calls. Luka does it all the time.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum does it. It's the thing I kind of hate most about Tatum's game. He doesn't really get respect at the rim. He doesn't really get any calls. I complain about that on Twitter. Like, this guy's first team all NBA and he can't get an N1 to save his life.
That's ridiculous.
But looking for every single, like every time he misses a shot, he's kind of doing this and looking back. That drives me insane.
Bro,
about
I hate
his
that,
game.
Chris.
And Luka too, and two of my favorite players, you know, in the game right now.
And Chris, not to interrupt you.
Did they do that in the 80s and 90s? It was like Larry Bird complaining.
I don't remember that, man. But here's the deal. You can even look at the great, some of the two of the greatest players that we've ever seen. Kobe, Tim Duncan. Apparently, according to those two, they never committed a foul in their 40 plus years.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Tim Duncan always had to look like
what do you mean?
Kobe always had to look like what? You know, Lob City Clippers. That was my one thing about Blake Griffin. I was like, please, bro, you got to stop with the complaint. Because the amount of time you take to complain, guess what? The other team's running the break and your man's leading that break. Now we've given up an easy two.
Tatum does that all the time.
I guess the strategy can pay off or it can be horribly wrong for the player who does it, because eventually if you complain a little, maybe they'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
the next
but too
if
much.
You keep doing it, if you keep doing it, then eventually they will get annoyed.
You get tuned out.
And they'll say, I'm not listening to you anymore. And actually, I'm going to go against you because you're bothering me.
Exactly
right now.
What I just saying. Yeah. Like I get amazed. Like, I see guys getting teched up, and we do all the time for like dumb stuff. Then you got this guy whose mouth literally never shuts, and he's always, he's like 2 feet from the ref, and he's always yelling. And I'm like, how is this guy not getting ousted out of this game? And like, I guess in the point, I'm glad because, you know, you really, really should have to do something bad to get tossed out of a game. But at the same point, it's like, dude, you're not helping yourself.
I was actually bummed that he fouled out because, you know, as a Celtics fan, him being on the court is good for my team.
Yeah,
like, he's been so terrible.
We were talking about this earlier. I want to bring this up from StatMuse. So far, Draymond Green in this finals, he has as many fouls as points.
Ugh.
He has more technical fouls than three-pointers. He has more turnovers than baskets. So yeah. Those stats are mind-blowing.
I need him to stay on the floor.
Yeah.
I need him out there. Saying.
And we've talked about that he's regressed as a player in terms of his offense.
Yeah, like,
if you remember those finals against Cleveland 4, 5, 6 years ago, he would hit threes. He would hit shots. He doesn't even look for his shot anymore. He's so unconfident in his shot right now. And it's so smart of Boston just to leave him wide open and dare him to shoot.
Oh, man, just the disrespect they're showing his game. You know, guys are 10, 12 feet off of him. Just do whatever you want. Like, you're not going to get a dunk. You're not going to get a layup. But if you want to shoot a jumper, be my guest, by all means. Yeah, it's funny. He's only 32 years old. I always think of him as maybe an older player, but his offense has just completely left his game. It's really interesting to see the development.
Well, I mean, also, you got to remember, Draymond never was really an offensive force
in the
NBA.
He was better back in the day.
He could, but, like, his game is more about, like, the offense running through him, his defense. Remember, he's going to be an Hall of Famer because he was a lockdown defender, not because he was a great scorer. He was a great facilitator. But, like, you're not seeing that stuff either.
No, but Adam, you know, to Adam's point, during the run there, he averaged 12, 14, 10, 11. You know, he was getting points and he could score.
Yeah, but that's not a great scorer.
No, but it's better than scoring like 2 points.
Yeah, granted, but I'm saying like Draymond Green was never on the court because he was a scorer.
He could score.
I'm saying 10 and 12, that's about as great as you were going to get at him. It was everything else that he brought to the game which made him elite at what he did, and nothing. None of that's being shown now. He's got, what, 15 points in 3 games, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. He fouled out. I mean, he was terrible. He's you know, but obviously they need him to produce, be a factor if they're going to get back in
the
series.
If you get 2 more Draymond Green games like this, then the season's over. He's got to step up. He's got to be the force. And again, we're not looking for a 20-point Draymond Green game. That's not what you need. But, yeah, Adam, 12, 15, you're right. He needs, you know, 10 rebounds, you know, 6 to 10 assists. He's got to plug in the gaps everywhere else, and that's just not what he's been doing this whole series.
Do you guys think Jason Tatum is injured? Because he was doing that thing again at the beginning of the game last night where he was kind of holding his shoulder.
Yeah, his shoulder's definitely injured.
That goes back to, like, game 3 against Miami with this. They just called a stinger.
Yeah, well, Mr. Miyagi had to come out and do his work to get his shoulder working again.
He'll shoot something and it'll look way off. He'll be like, man, his shoulder's got to be messed up. And then he'll shoot all net. You know what I mean? He'll get to the lane. He'll take a hit.
I think it's, yeah.
I'm just wondering if what's going to come out after the finals. Like, did he dislocate it and they popped it back into place? Is it, you know, does he have a stinger?
Is it a deep bone bruise?
Something's definitely wrong.
There's something wrong for sure. We'll find out more after the season's over. But the fact that he's playing through this shows that he's a tough competitor.
Yeah.
That there's obviously something wrong, but occasionally, you know, he'll feel it. But then, like you said, he's still scoring, you know, 20, 30 points a game and hitting big shots. So it doesn't seem to be affecting him that much, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, he's still averaging. He's still averaging 25 a game in the series. He's actually been a great distributor, 13 assists in game 1, 9 assists in the win last night. We just further see his maturation and kind of development as a superstar.
And like we pointed out last week, or maybe it was on the big show, the last two series, he had bad, very bad game 3s. He started off game 1 kind of bad, and we were like, well, maybe he got the bad game out of the way. It seems as though he did, because this game 3 was totally different. Remember, last two game 3s, he had 20 points combined. So, you know, this guy's just...
Yeah, 28 in game 2, 26, 6 and 9, nice, in game 3 last night. And what I was going to say, TJ, is that kind of the key for this Boston is Jaylen Brown getting off to a hot start.
Yeah.
We saw it again last night. He had a great first quarter. He had a monster first half. And I kind of think if we're looking at who's the MVP for Boston now through three games and a 2-1 lead, I kind of think it's Jaylen Brown. What do you think about that, Adam?
Yes. It's tough to say, but yeah, I'd probably go with Jaylen Brown. Yeah, he's the ignition for that offense. He sets the tone. So everybody was saying, obviously, if Boston would win the series, that it would be Tatum for MVP. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's Jaylen Brown right now. He's been incredibly important for that team. And it feels like wherever he goes, they go. So if he doesn't have a good game, it's tough for them to win. So yeah, I'd say he's probably the MVP right now. Yeah,
and kind of too what Brian Windhorst said too, just protecting the ball, the turnovers. You know, they got off to a slow start turnover-wise last night. I think they had 6 in the first quarter, and they finished with only 12 in the entire game, just 1 in the fourth. Just protecting the basketball, too. And I don't know if you guys saw this stat, too, last night. ESPN Stats and Info had this one. Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and Marcus Smart, first trio to each have 25-5 in a finals game since Kareem, Magic, and Michael Cooper in 1984.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, so Boston's kind of doing it with their new big three, you know, and
clearly also in this series, you have Jaylen Brown and Tatum as the two stars, and for the Warriors, I guess it'd be Steph and Klay, but the third guy, Marcus Smart, is definitely outplaying Jordan Poole right now.
Right,
and Poole has not been good at all in this series. He's not playing that many minutes because they can't really have like three guards on the court at the same time because of Boston's
that lineup of death. They can't really do it. Boston's too long on the perimeter. You know, all these guys are, you know, Smart as 6'4".
And that's something that I underestimated going into the series, how they couldn't really play that lineup because of how good Boston's defense is. Jordan Poole needs to break out, at least score 20, have a 25-point game 4, or they're going to be in trouble. He was so good in those first two series against Denver and Memphis, and he's just kind of faded. And I think he had like 10 points last game. He just hasn't. Yeah, 10 points and 17-9. No, he's got to be scoring the 20s for them to win.
And the other big thing that came out last night, TJ, let's talk about this for a little bit. Draymond mentioned it, and then Klay talked about it too. Even Steve Kerr mentioned it as well. The Boston crowd. What'd you guys think of the crowd last night? Them chanting F you Draymond and all kinds of other stuff to Klay. Was that a big deal to you? How are you seeing that situation?
See, I personally, like yesterday, I was watching a game in Santa Monica at Stella Barra with our buddy Ben Lyons. So
we should have got him in here.
Right. But I didn't even think about that till just now. But so we don't hear the game. Because you're hearing bar, you're hearing atmosphere. They've got whoever DJs at Stella Bear, by the way, I mean, it's all hip, like 90s hip hop hits. Ooh. It's amazing. If you ever go there, you're just gonna love it.
Hire them for your wedding or bar mitzvah.
Oh, I'm telling you. But so the whole crowd thing, I couldn't hear the game at all, so I didn't know about any of this until late last night and this morning. So it's kind of hard for me to really say. But yeah, I mean, if a arena full of people are chanting, telling you to go, you know, F yourself. But again, sometimes certain people bring that upon themselves too. So, you know, I guess for some people it motivates and fuels them. For some people that can, it'll shake you. You'll get shook. So I guess it just depends on the player. But again, I can't really say last night in specific because all I could really hear was, you know, bar sounds.
But do you think the Warriors just kind of bringing it up? Are they making excuses because they lost? Like if they had won the game, do you think we would have heard, oh, the crowd was chanting F you at me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think you would have because then they would have flipped it into,
like,
that motivated
us.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Right. So, you know, maybe one of you guys, because you actually got to hear the game, and what do you think? Was any of that being picked up on TV?
The funny thing is, never heard it either. I just heard, because I was watching, it was a superstition thing. Okay. I had it on the second TV on mute.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to hear, I really just didn't want to hear Jackson and Van Gundy, honestly. I saw that Mike Breen was back. Mm-hmm. He had missed the first two games with COVID. Happy that he was back on the call. But I honestly just didn't want to hear any of the BS during the broadcast. I just wanted to watch
the game. I've been there.
And so I had the Red Sox because they're playing Anaheim. Mm-hmm. So it was a late start. So I had the Red Sox on the big TV and I had the Celtics on the muted TV.
That's absolutely insane, Chris. Wow.
I know. Sarah was like, you don't want to put the Celtics on the big TV? I was like, no. I was like, we're playing well. we're winning right now. Uh-huh. I'm going to leave it on the little TV. I don't want to jinx it.
The superstition thing is fascinating. You think every little move actually matters.
It matters.
It does matter.
In your head, it matters. That shows how...
Not in my head. In reality, it matters. Yes.
In reality, it really... So, Adam, what did you think? Is it a big deal?
I love it. When they started chanting... And I love Draymond to begin with, but when they started chanting, F you, Draymond...
It's amazing.
It's awesome. So I think it's awesome.
It's
old school.
This was audible?
Fun.
You could pick this up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You can hear it live. Yeah, you can hear it definitely on the broadcast. It's fantastic. I think he's a full-fledged heel. They're going against him. I just love it. There's something old school about it. And what did the NBA expect? The game is starting at 9 p.m. in Boston. Those guys have been drinking
all day
since 11.
Yeah, since 11 a.m.
Nobody went to work yesterday.
If they
got out early and they started boozing at like 2 o'clock.
Were boozing. If you watch Paul Pierce's Instagram,
Paul Pierce was so hammered.
He was walking through the streets of downtown Boston. Everybody was drinking, chanting his name. Like, I knew this was going to be a crazy...
Paul Pierce was shit-faced. It was amazing.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be a crazy spectacle. Yeah. You're in Boston, one of the biggest drinking cities in the world, starting at a game at 9 p.m. Of course stuff's going to happen. Yeah. And I love it, though. I think it adds to the drama. I think it's exciting. I hope they swear to more, and I hope Golden State comes back at them.
By the way,
I think it's fun. I think it adds to it.
You thought Wednesday was bad? What do you think Friday is going to be like? A Friday in Boston?
Oh,
everyone's calling out sick.
Yeah.
It's going to be even
Nobody's working.
It's going to be 20 times worse.
And I love the Boston crowds. I think they have one of the best...
Great energy.
Yeah, one of the best home court advantages in the NBA, for sure. And so, I think it's intriguing rather than watching just at a whatever stadium where it's not as loud. And it's... I know some people will be like, oh, you can't have the kids listening to this. It's like, grow up. Your kids have been hearing swears since they were born.
Like, I just thought it was funny. Draymond Green's wife, did you see her Instagram story has kind of been going around on Twitter? She wrote this big thing and a story complaining about it and specifically mentioned the kids. And then Draymond, their son, was sitting next to him in the post game when he was like, oh, I played like S.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
It's nonsense. Kids have access to the internet when they're 7. And we're scared that they're going to hear the word, the F word. Oh, my God. Oh, they can't hear it.
I immediately thought of two things when I saw all of this kind of commotion. Because I was watching the post game, and all those guys were talking about it in the post game. I thought of loser mentality. It's just something you say after a loss because you're frustrated. Maybe you didn't play well. You're disappointed. So you're just like, oh, well, this happened and blah, 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 blah. And then I thought of... This has been going on for such a long time. Remember when J.J. Redick was at Duke?
Mm-hmm.
And they would go to Maryland. It was so loud, the F.U. J.J., during the ESPN broadcast, they couldn't do anything. Because if they tried to mute it, they would mute the mics of their broadcast team.
Yeah, Del Tufo would be having a panic attack in terms of the sound in the back.
Like, the F.U. J.J.'s during his era were so loud at NC State, at Maryland. Like... This has been going on for so long. And we talked about on the big show today, like the FU trays during last year's playoffs. Like, just Klay and Draymond don't really have the ability to shut them up kind of anymore. I mean, Klay had a really good game last night.
I mean, Klay does. There's not much Dre can do. Like, he can't step back and hit a 35-footer like Klay can.
No, and so, Trae Young kind of shut up the New York fans. So, Wilbon thinks that,
I thought you said Dre and Klay. You're talking about Trey.
Yeah, bad. Wilbon thinks the Golden State's going to win game 4. I'm not really sure. I have no idea. I was surprised that he said it. He still sees this as kind of an even series, which goes back to what you said, TJ, about if you were just to awake me in 2 weeks, be like, oh, who won the finals? Oh, so-and-so won in 7 games.
Oh, okay.
That sounds about right.
Also, like we keep saying, though, with their pedigree, with their experience, and with those shooters, I mean, you just, no matter how bad Golden State plays in a game, the only thing that can truly stop them is an injury. And, I don't know how you guys felt, but when Steph was laying on his back, but I feel that way whether you're on my team or not. Yeah. I hate to see anyone get hurt, but especially not like a GOAT. So you're seeing him and he's just laying there.
Steph.
And you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, as soon as you try to dive for a ball, there's always that risk. You cannot it's almost not worth it at this point for somebody like him to die for a ball.
Yeah, but you can't. That's like Brockman's thing. Like, you can't die for the end zone. But it's just like, and when in your mind, you're always taught to go 110%. And that, because guess what happens? You don't go for the ball. And then you got a Cam Newton situation where 10 years later, people are still complaining that you didn't die for the ball and possibly pop your shoulder out, you know? So, yeah. So, you know, it's just, you can't take that away from a competitor, especially if you've got that fire. But like I said, if I've got Steph and I've got Clay, I'm never out of a game and I'm never out of a series. And I kind of feel like, yeah, they've won a road game in 24 consecutive series. I don't see that changing. I feel like they're going to get one next game.
Yeah, so Shams tweeted a couple hours ago that optimism for Curry's status for game four doesn't look like he needs an MRI. Avoided a major issue with his left foot. So we'll see what the update is later today after they have practice. But yeah, that was really scary. Yeah. Anytime you see a kind of a pig pile like that, and you know, these are big, huge guys.
Yeah. And Steph's not a huge guy, you know.
Not a huge guy compared to them.
compared to us.
Yeah. But you know, diving around like that and a guy who's kind of had an injury like that earlier this year with Marcus Smart.
So. Air quotes, his Achilles heel are his ankles. Right. So that's, you know, when that happens, you're kind of like, oh, man, because, you know, you just want to see both teams at
full
equal
strength.
Yeah, and that way there's no doubt, there's no question when this is all said and done.
But Chris, be honest, when that happened, you were actually praying for Steph Curry to be hurt. Let's be real.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think at that point the game was kind of over, right?
It was kind of.
I think that was towards the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was like a 10-point game at that point. No, I mean, Steph was awesome last night.
Yeah.
I mean, I still can't believe that, you know, Boston is one of those switch everything on defense. I still can't believe we're going under screens on him and just kind of
horrible
and just giving him open threes. Like I'm not understanding that strategy.
It's just because another mental thing,
but
because
I think every shot he takes is going in.
Yeah. Like
every single one.
I'm at the point now when he misses, I'm like, really?
I'm like, wow, he missed. Yeah. I'm shocked.
But also you probably should go under 99% of screens
except when number 30 has the ball. Don't do it. And by the way, Clay hasn't played in 3 years and still doesn't look like himself. I still think every time he shoots the ball, it's going in. Like, why are we giving these guys open threes?
That's the only downside. The only criticism for Boston's defense is just playing down on that pick and roll. If Horford and Williams can step up on that, then that's a huge improvement. And I don't see how Boston's defense could get any better if they do that.
Yeah.
That's the only weakness I've seen so far.
Yeah, and one positive, too. Like, when Boston kind of wins these blowout games, they're making 18, 19, 20 threes. Mm-hmm. They're really out shooting the other team from outside. You know, last night, Golden State had more threes than Boston. They outshot them 15-13, three-point range. Granted, Clay and Steph had 11 of those. But Boston was able to really play great defense. I mean, to hold the Warriors to 100 points...
Yeah,
you'll take that every time, right?
Do you do something drastic if you're the Warriors, like play Kuminga more, maybe have him
I'm surprised he didn't play
much
last night.
Why is he not
guarding
Tatum or Brown for at least a certain amount of time? I don't understand that.
I mean, you got got fouls. Yeah. Use him, man. Like,
he's
six
athletic.
Fouls.
That guy can play.
Do you think the Warriors are at kind of, we need to do whatever it takes?
Yeah, I think it's gotten to that point where they need to do something to stop Brown and Tatum. And I know Kuminga is young. He's, 19, 20 years old. But I think he's athletic enough where he can at least make it difficult for those guys at certain periods in the game.
Well, Bielitsa's been getting some minutes where he hasn't really played this whole postseason. And he's played, you know, not much, but 10, 12 minutes the last couple of games.
I noticed Iguodala played the first game and hasn't really played any at all. So I don't know what the deal is with that. Peyton's a good defender.
Did Peyton play last night?
He played a little.
He played 25 last.
Oh, he did?
Not last night. He didn't play 25.
Let me check.
Game two.
He played
25.
Amount,
yeah.
But I don't really remember.
He played 11 minutes last night.
Right. Otto Porter got more minutes than
Otto did
last,
get. Yeah.
Right?
He got some run.
Yeah. Kuminga needs to get in there. At least play 15 minutes a game, just for defensive purposes only. I really believe that.
All right. Prediction time. By the time we're back on the air, so. Game four is Friday night in Boston. Game five, Monday in San Francisco. We'll be back with you guys next Wednesday. What is the series at when we return on this program in 6 days? Adam.
Oh my God, don't do this to me. This is why I don't bet, Chris.
No, I know why you don't bet. I am on a separate thread with you where we talk a lot about betting. You are terrible.
No, screw that.
You have been wrong this whole NBA playoffs.
Who's the one guy who said that the Warriors would make the finals? It wasn't you guys.
Rich Eisen. Me.
That's true. Well, yeah, Rich Eisen.
But I called that from the start, and there's
video
evidence for that.
You did call that,
Warriors.
But every other series, you were just way off.
I've been off in this playoffs.
Way off. All right, when we come back in 6 days, is it over or is it... 2-2. No.
Because that's only game five by the time we come back.
But it could be over.
It could be, yeah.
No, it's not over. I can't see Golden State losing the next two games in a row. I just can't see them losing in five games. Oh, man. I will say...
3-2 Boston or 3-2 Golden State?
I will say...
Or is it over?
Well, the question was, is the series still going on?
The
series is going on.
All right, then that's
still
all
going on?
I'm going to say... 3-2 Golden State, or 3-2 Boston. 3-2 Boston.
3-2 Boston.
3-2 Boston going into game six.
3-2 Boston next week. Going back to Boston for game six to close it out.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I would love to be at that game. TJ, what do you think?
I mean, as far as who's up, I'm not sure. I definitely believe going into game six. I mean, obviously, series not going to be over. I guess
game six would be Thursday.
Game six would be Thursday. Yeah.
Will we be previewing game six in Boston?
Well, we're definitely previewing game six. The series will not be over.
Okay.
As to who will have the lead,
who has the chance to close it out?
That I'm really not sure, man. I'm really not sure, but I do know that this ain't going to be over by the next time we speak, folks. I'm convinced with. But if I've got to say, then I'll say 3-2 Boston heading into game six.
I kind of agree with you. Here's the question I have for both of you. Okay. Here's the question I have for both of you. If Boston wins game four, Monday night is in San Francisco. Do I go to the game on Monday?
Yes.
Do I make a baller trip up to the Bay?
Absolutely.
Get a ticket for like $700. Day flight up, back.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You think so?
The thing is, I don't think they'll win, but you have to go support your team, though.
I have to just be in the building.
To be in the building for a potential championship-winning game on a 45-minute flight. I know it'll be expensive, but...
I mean, it's so quick. People listening, if they don't really understand how quick the flight is to San Francisco, it's literally like an hour.
Yeah. It's an eight-hour drive, though, but the flight's...
But it's a one-hour flight.
Yeah. You could be back to work the next day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could literally just baller chip. Show ends. I fly up. Like, John Sally, we're breaking news. John Sally is guest hosting on Monday.
Didn't know that. That's
Rich
awesome.
Because Rich has a graduation for Xander. So John Sally is hosting on Monday with us. So it's like, do the show with Sally. Get all friggin' hyped. Fly to San Francisco. Yeah.
Let's
go to the game.
Well, see, here's what you got to do then. We do the show with Sally. We talk him into getting the PJ.
Oh, my God.
Then flying up. That's how we do it.
Now you're talking.
Because, you know, long, tall Sally, he's got that 20-year NBA career money going on. You know what I'm saying? So that's just something to think
about. Is that the move? We talk Sally into going with us? And then, by the way, then we're like, Sally... He's got, I got four seats. You guys want to come? Then suddenly we're sitting on the floor.
I
mean,
hey, you know what I say?
I think we're overestimating John Sally's potential with this, to be honest. I love John Sally, but he played in the 80s and 90s. I don't know if he has private jet money. He's a great guy. But
right, you better check the John Sally contract. Then. Yeah. You know what I say? It's all good when your feet are on the wood, so I'll take floor seat. I don't care. I'd be in the building.
So 3-1, Monday, I baller trip to San Francisco.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You get to go to, have you ever been to a finals game before?
Have I ever been to a finals game before? No. I went to, in 2018, when the Red Sox won the World Series, they won it here in Dodger Stadium. I was at that game. So that was kind of the only championship thing that I've seen. I've been to NBA playoff games, not a finals game.
I mean, I've been to Super Bowls. That's it.
I've been to a Super Bowl, but not, I mean, I went to a Patriots Super Bowl, but they lost. One of the one times they lost.
You have to go.
Yeah, I mean...
Talk to Bob Menery, Bill Simmons. Talk to one of the Boston people. Jeez. Get them to hook you up. John Sally, like we said.
But what if I go up there and then they lose? Then I have to come back to the show on Tuesday and hear you guys talk about how I'm the mush again.
But what if they win?
If they win. I'm going to be so obnoxious.
One of the greatest nights of your life.
I'll be still drunk on the flight. But do I talk someone into going with me?
That's an expensive talk.
Yeah. Like I said, John Sally's your best bet. Or call up Bill Burr or somebody, you know.
True. I don't really know Bill.
If
all right, we'll see. Let's get through tomorrow first. Let's get through tomorrow. I kind of agree with TJ. I think Boston does win tomorrow, and then I think Golden State wins game 5, and then Boston closes it out game 6.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what it feels like tomorrow.
Will be very hard for the Celtics because
they're not going to roll over, but is Steph going to be 100%? I kind of think he will be, but if he's not, we'll know right away.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll know right away, and then that game could get ugly quick. Thanks for the insight. Yeah. I really thought you were going to say something there, but you just nodded.
Nodded, okay. You know, this is a podcast, Adam. We must speak.
All right, let's get out of here.
Well, before we go, let's talk about something real quick.
You always do that. I'm ready to leave, and you're like, hold on.
He does a Jewish goodbye.
You just arbitrarily sometimes decide that we're leaving.
I know, but we've already been going on for almost 30, 40 minutes.
Well, that's fine, but you got to give the people what they want. Let's talk Hustle.
Because I haven't seen it yet.
Next week.
Are you going to see it up next
week? I'm going to watch it tomorrow. Sarah's going to San Diego to work.
Okay.
So I'm going to watch it tomorrow night.
All right, bet. Then we'll wait.
After the finals game, I'm going to watch it tomorrow night.
We'll do that Wednesday.
Watch it before the finals. It got me so hyped for basketball. Bro.
I'm literally not going to have time.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot. You got daddy duty and stuff.
Cage is at home all day. So
I heard he's pooping on floors.
Oh, my goodness. We're potty training, but we watched this video, and they call it potty learning, and I was just like, eye roll. But a lot of the stuff they were talking about really made sense. So we're doing, it's like super intense. Mm-hmm. I mean, if people are dads out there, parents,
which most people listening understand.
Super intense. 3 straight days, no diaper. So they literally just walk around like,
and
pantless.
Oh, you even put pants on him?
Is he peeing also like everywhere?
Here's the thing. He's super good about the pee. He knows like, daddy, I gotta go potty. Boom. Runs to the bathroom. We got a little, mini commode and he goes. This morning, Sarah sends me a picture. Giant dump right in the middle of the living room. she's like, that's what I get for going to get dressed.
He was just like, heck with it.
Boom. So he's super good with the pee. Well, it's a different sensation, obviously. Yeah. Like, I know when I have to go pee, and I get, but it's a different feeling. He doesn't understand the poop feeling yet. He's kind of got the pee thing down, because like before we get in the pool, he'll like pee in the yard. And so he knows that feeling.
I hope he learns the poo feeling by the time he goes in the pool.
Jesus.
You don't want that.
I mean,
remember poop. That? Wasn't that the worst thing in the summer back in the day when you'd be in a pool and all of a sudden you have to evacuate and it says nobody can come in the pool.
It was like Caddyshack. It was like Caddyshack. Duty. So anyway, we're doing that super intense. Started today. It's today, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to be solo on
and you're
Friday.
Gonna be, I'm about to say you're going to be K-Solo for this,
I'm gonna
bro.
I'm going to be solo Friday. Potty learning with a finals game going on. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Cage might be pooing on the floor. Chris might be pooing on the floor. Yeah. We got a lot going on.
There'll be a lot of crying and pooping going on in that house.
There's so much happening. All right, great way to end the show. We're going to talk Hustle next week. Right, I'll have seen it by then.
And I miss winning time.
Hopefully we'll get ready for another duck boat parade next week.
I'm so conflicted, Adam. I don't know what I want.
All right, everybody. So enjoy the NBA finals. It's been so awesome so far. Let's keep it going. Adam.
Give us some likes and comments also on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. Hit us up on the YouTube channel.
On Twitter, tell us if you guys are feeling the podcast. We want some interaction.
Adam wants some interaction.
Yeah, you can have all the interaction.
Follow Adam on Twitter. A. Chudwin. And is the same on Instagram?
On Instagram, yeah.
A. Chudwin on Instagram and Twitter. He doesn't have much in his life. This is all that he has.
Yeah,
he's got a big head. He's wearing an 80-year-old grandpa sweater.
Hey,
this is all he has.
Come on, the sweater. Come on. Guys, come on. Not many people can pull this sweater off of my big head and thick neck.
Del Tufo's giant monitor is blocking
it. Yeah, Del Tufo is ruining my... Here we go. Here, I'll stand up.
All right, everybody. We appreciate
only,
you.
Only you and Mr. Rogers can pull that sweater off.
We appreciate you. Enjoy the NBA Finals. Adam, TJ, great job. See you guys next week.
Peace.